So there were a lot of scriptures given in Traver's first speech that I didn't have time to get to. And we'll try to get to at least a couple of them right now and then start with the second speech. But suffice it to say, I really responded to really all of them when I said this. Most of his passages prove that sinners are depraved, but they didn't talk about being born that way. I said, that's not the issue. I tried to show you that we agree sinners are depraved. A homosexual, a person that wants to have sex with an animal, totally depraved. If they weren't born that way, there's no gay gene. They chose to be that way. So, Traver, you got to give us verses that says they're born that way. Just giving us verses to say that sinners are depraved, we're in agreement. I went through that, but I'm not sure you heard me, maybe. But let's look at Romans 8, 7 through 8, because I'm glad he brought that up. He says, this is a proof that sinners are born depraved. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, for that to prove his position, it would have to say somebody is born with a carnal mind. But it doesn't say that. I agree. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The question is he born that way? Doesn't say that, does it? So, is one born with a carnal mind? Or is it possible for a carnally minded man to change and become spiritually minded? So let me show you how I can prove to you that even according to Traver's logic, this is not talking about being born that way. Okay? Because remember, Traver says once you're regenerated and born again, then you have a choice not to sin. You're not totally depraved in the sense that he says. You can choose God or not choose God once you're regenerated. Did you know that this carnal mind, people are told, said they're carnally minded after they became Christians? Do you remember that in 1 Corinthians? Here's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. He's writing this letter unto the church of God at Corinth to them that are sanctified. Again, the definition for sanctified, according to Thayer, is to purify by expiation free from the guilt of sin. That means they've been forgiven. They've been sanctified. They've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Sanctified in Christ Jesus. They're in Christ Jesus. In fellowship, in a saved relationship with Christ. Called to be saints. They're saints. They're saints at this point. With all that in every place, call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I, brethren, could not... I'm going down to chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So they're in Christ, yet he calls them carnal. And they were carnal. They're babes in Christ. They've been sanctified by the blood of Christ. They have been forgiven as a Christian, been regenerated and born again. But now they've developed a carnal mind. That's what he says. I have fed you with milk, not with meat. For here, hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? James, we've met a few people, Christians like that. They were carnal, causing division. Right? Have y'all met anybody like that? They're supposed to be a believer in the church, but he was carnal. This says, here's some people been sanctified by the blood of Christ, but now they're carnal. Well, so go back to Romans 8, verse 7. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Neither is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But that can't be that they were born that way, because Traver, in this passage, Traver says, if you're carnal after you became a Christian, it's not because you were born that way. It's because you chose to be carnal after you regenerated. What about these people in 1 Corinthians? They are carnal, so that their carnal mind is enmity against God. They're not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. But did they get that way by choice or by birth? Well, they're already been regenerated, so it'd have to be by choice, according to Traver's own logic. You see, so we agree carnally minded people are depraved. But a person that's a Christian can develop a carnal mind, and he gets that way by choice, not by birth. So a person before he became a Christian has a carnal mind is because of choice, not by birth. He didn't prove anything, because this verse just talks about people being carnally minded. It doesn't say anything about birth, and we can prove that people become carnal minded through choice, because we get Christians that do that. And then let's go to Ephesians 2:1. That's one of the passages he brought up in his first speech that I didn't get to. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Here's the definition for dead in that verse by Thayer. Okay? The definition for the word dead by Thayer, for that word in this verse. He says, spiritually dead, destitute of a life that recognizes and is devoted to God, inactive as respects doing right. Notice, when somebody's dead in sin, the point is not inability, but inactivity. Inactive as respects doing right. Now, I can prove that definition works. That definition's right. Trevor, I can prove that. Because if you go to Romans chapter 6, we have two verses, verse 2 and 11, that say people are dead to sin. These Christians are dead to sin, according to verse 11. You see that on the chart? Verse 2 says they're dead to sin. Now, if dead in sin means you're unable to do what's right, then dead to sin would mean you're unable to sin. So according to Traver's logic, that if dead in sin means unable to do what's right, according to his logic, dead to sin would be unable to do what's wrong. Do we know any Christians that are unable to commit sin? Do you know anybody like that? I don't. I don't know anybody, any Christian that keeps from sinning. 1 John 1, 8 and 10 shows they're a liar if they claim that. So dead to sin doesn't mean unable to sin. So dead in sin doesn't mean unable to do what's right. It's inactive, not inability. Does everybody see that? You see, it can't be dead in sin means unable to do what's right, because that would mean dead to sin. Christians are unable to commit any sin. There's, if you can find a flaw in that logic, you let me know, because as far as I can tell, it's conclusive proof that Traver is dead wrong about Ephesians 2:1. He's dead wrong. Now notice Ephesians 2:1 says these dead sinners were quickened. That's what it says. You he hath quickened. How did he quicken them? Psalms 119:50 says, thy word hath quickened me. He didn't force them to become Christians. It was through the divine persuasion of the word of God that they were challenged and asked to become a Christian and leave their sin, repent of their sin, and they did. They were quickened by the word of God, not through miraculous force. So the Ephesians were dead in sin, not by birth, but by what they did. Notice the context. Verse 1, you were dead through your trespasses and sins. They're dead in sin. It's not by birth, though. It's because of their sin. Walked according to the course of this world, verse 2. Verse 3, lived in the lust of our flesh. Verse 3, indulging the desires of the flesh. So they're dead in sin, not because they're born that way, and it means they're unable to do what's right. They're dead in sin because they're living as sinners. They're dead. They're separated from God by their sin. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes 7:29. Now, I'm amazed that he brought this up in his first speech as sort of an argument for his side. Let's look at that. Here's Ecclesiastes 7:29. God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. I tried to write down what Traver said in this last speech. He says, God made them that way, mankind, in the garden. Does it say anything about in the garden here? He added that. Now, how do I know this is not talking about in the garden? I'm going to challenge everybody here that's a Reformed Baptist just to look at that verse. Okay? I could stake the whole debate on this verse because it's so clear, and it conclusively proves that Traver's position is false. He said they were made that way in the garden, but who is the they in this verse? It says that God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. Who's the they? Anybody got an idea? Speak up. Who's the they? I don't mind you speaking up. You know who the they is. It ain't just Adam, is it? It's plural. And it says it's not just the original sin, eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, is it? It's they have sought out many devices. So God made Rodney upright. But the reason he left that is because he sought out many schemes or devices. God made Pat Traver upright. But the reason we're not upright anymore is because we seek out many schemes. Is this talking about God made man upright in the garden? You know, and I know it's not saying that. It says, but they have sought out many devices. That's my position. Every single person is made upright. That baby you think is innocent? That's exactly right. That baby is innocent. Because he was made upright by God. Now, this is what God says. You can either love Calvinism and that man, or you can love Jesus Christ and what his word says. The word is clear on this. You can grin it away, but it says God made man upright, but they have sought out many devices. Schemes, as other translations say. Sin. The reason you're not upright is not because you were born that way, it's because you sinned. Every single person in this audience was made upright. That's what it says. Either we love God enough to accept what he says, Or we're going to say, no, we're sinners because of what Adam did. We're going to try to pass the buck. No, the reason you're a sinner is because you sin. That's what this says. Don't try to pass the buck. There's just no way around that. Who is the they in this passage? You answer that. Is that Adam? Is that just that original sin, or is it they have sought out many devices? They're made up right. Every single person is made up right. And then Traver was responding to something. So I said, it's impossible to transfer the guilt of sin. He says, well, look at Jesus on the cross. That would mean Jesus couldn't take our sins on the cross. No, do you notice in Isaiah 53 verse 5, it says the chastisement, or the newer translations, that's the old King James. The newer translations will say punishment of our peace was upon him. Our guilt of our sin was not transferred to Jesus. You can't transfer guilt. If I commit a sin, if God says Jesus did it, he's guilty of it, God's lying. You can't rewrite history. It's impossible for God to lie. You cannot transfer guilt. If I commit a sin, I'm always going to be the one guilty of it. No guilt was transferred to Jesus. He's the most completely innocent Lamb of God all time. What was transferred? The chastisement or the punishment of our sin was upon him. He received the penalty or the punishment for our sin. He didn't receive any of our guilt. It's impossible to transfer guilt. It's a lie to say, if I commit a sin, that Trevor's guilty of it. Or that Jesus is guilty of it. Or if Adam commits a sin, to say, I'm guilty of it. That's a lie. You can't rewrite history. God, it's impossible for him to lie. You can't transfer guilt, but you can transfer penalty, punishment. And that's what Jesus took for us. Now, let's talk about Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Because Traver hung himself. Traver hung himself with Genesis 6, verse 5. He said, this proves his position. Everybody look at it. I'm not just making this up. I wouldn't say that lightly. It talks about why God brought the flood. He saw that men, that his heart was only evil continually. According to Traver, that proves people are born totally depraved. But look at chapter 6, verse 12, only seven verses later. Now remember, verse 5 is talking about his version of total depravity. He admits that. He uses it as an affirmative argument. But notice verse 12. Why was their heart only evil continually? 6:12 says, all flesh had corrupted his way. So they weren't born that way, were they? The people that died in the flood that were corrupt, it says they had all flesh had corrupted his way. So yeah, they were totally depraved according to 6:5. You hung yourself, Traver, because this passage actually says it wasn't due to birth. It's because they corrupted themselves. They left the Lord. Do y'all see that? Is there anything hard to understand about that? 6:5, he hung himself. He said that proves total depravity, but seven verses later it says it's not due to birth. They did it to themselves. Y'all see that? I don't see how you can get around that. It's not hard to understand. Just read it right out of your Bible. Whatever translation you got, it'll say it right there in there. It proves Traver's position that we're born depraved is false. And then Traver says, why does every person choose to sin if we're not born totally depraved? Well, ask yourself this question. Were Adam and Eve born totally depraved? No. Why did they choose to sin? They had a choice, and they made the wrong choice. How about Traver says, once you're regenerated, once you're born again, then you're able to choose not to sin. Why does every single Christian sin? Why do they, Traver? Is it because they're totally depraved? No, they've been regenerated. You already said they're regenerated, and then they can choose not to sin. Christians, every Christian sins. So if every person sins, my wife's giving me the signal to lower my voice. Remember, my friend told me, you don't make anything truer just by saying it louder. He's right. Why does every person choose to sin? Well, not every person did. Jesus didn't choose to sin. He was made just like we are. We'll get to that in a minute. Adam and Eve were not born totally depraved, but they chose to sin. Traver says anybody regenerated has lost that total depravity. They have the ability to choose not to sin, but every single one of them do choose to sin. So obviously it's not because they're born totally depraved. If Christians all choose to sin, because they've lost that total depravity that they were born with, even according to Traver they have. Everybody can see that. So let's go, since I brought up about Jesus and the virgin birth. I mean, he brought about Jesus and the virgin birth. Let's go to that. Did Jesus inherit sin? The consequences of this inherited sin or depravity theory would be that Jesus inherited sin or depravity because he became a man. But contrary to that, Hebrews 4:15 says Jesus was without sin. Notice that Jesus was made exactly like us in this regard. Look at these verses. They're right there in your Bible. He had the same flesh and blood as us. Hebrews 2:14. As the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, talking about Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same. He was made like us, Hebrews 2:17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. He's made just like us. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4:15. How could Jesus not inherit sin? Why didn't he inherit it from his mother Mary? Why not? I'd like to know that. You know, the Catholics invented this doctrine, the Immaculate Conception theory, to get around this irrefutable point. They invented that doctrine to say Mary, the Immaculate Conception, she was conceived without getting this total depravity kind of thing born. That's how they get around it. They say Mary didn't have total depravity. That's how Jesus could be born without this total depravity, born guilty of sin thing. I'd like to know how Traver can get around it. It won't do just to say he was born of a virgin, because the Virgin Mary was born totally depraved. She had total depravity. Why wasn't it passed down through Mary to Jesus? That can't be answered. There's no way to answer that. Now let's look at how much time, Rodney? Psalms 51 verse 5 is brought up in this issue a lot. Here's what David said. We think it's David. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. So let's talk about the first phrase, shapen in iniquity. Does an automobile that's shapen in a manufacturing plant mean the automobile is a manufacturing plant? No, if you're shapen in iniquity, that doesn't mean you are iniquity. The automobile is shapen in a manufacturing plant. It doesn't make the automobile a manufacturing plant. Does born in the tongue mean the audience was born speaking, or that they were born into an environment that taught them that tongue? How about if John was born in a potato patch? Does that make John a potato? So David was shapen in iniquity. The world around him was in sin. Doesn't say he was in sin, though, does it? He was shapen in iniquity, just like that car in the automobile plant. How about in sin did my mother conceive me? If I were to say, in anger did my brother hit me, who's angry, me or my brother? If I say, in anger did my brother hit me, who's angry, me or my brother? My brother is. So if this says, in sin did my mother conceive me, that's not saying David was in sin when he was born. That's saying his mother was in sin when he was born. Isn't that right? If I say, in anger did my brother hit me, the one that's angry is my brother. If it says, in sin did my mother conceive me, the one in sin was David's mother. Now we could say a lot more about that, but that's enough for now.
2 minutes.
And then he says, well, if you're a slave, you're not free. Well, everybody turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. You know, there's such a thing as voluntary slavery. So how can a slave choose something else? For example, a slave can flee or escape, can't he? A voluntary slave can choose not to be a slave, choose to quit. Here's what John Calvin said about this. He said, and I'm quoting John Calvin, an admirable freedom that man is not forced to be the servant of sin, while is, however, a voluntary slave. He's not forced to be a slave of sin. He's a voluntary slave, according to John Calvin. So spiritual slavery is voluntary slavery. Notice Romans 6:16. You see that in your Bible? It says, I'll have to turn there and read it. Romans 6, verse 16. It says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Notice that we yield ourselves to slavery. It's voluntary slavery to sin. Voluntary slavery. And you can leave that. 1 minute. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, if I have time. And you were by nature the children of wrath. According to Traver, that says we inherit this nature from Adam. But how about Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve, once they sinned, they had this nature, this total depraved nature, didn't they? But how did they get that nature? This nature, how did Adam and Eve get that nature? By birth or by choice? He says after the fall, they had this nature, whatever nature that's talking about. How did they get that nature, Adam and Eve? By birth or by choice? According to Traver, it was by choice. So why couldn't we get this nature by choice? As a matter of fact, Romans 2:14 says that people, the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. So according to that, their nature is that they're righteous. How can you have a nature of righteousness and wickedness at the same time? He's wrong about what the word nature means, but my time's up.